I wonder what town you are from. What city is it that you are from? And when you mention that town or city, what do people say? Are you from a nowhere town? Does your town and what people say about your town sound something like a very popular song? Just a small town girl living in a small town world. Who sang that? Yeah, you guys remember that, yeah. We're at the end of our season, and we are anticipating the story of the small town girl from a small town world. And she is arriving on our scene. It's what Advent is all about. We've been studying these last 4 weeks. If you're just joining us, we've been in our four-week series talking about Advent, the beginning of the Christian New Year. And our series has led us to this point, the fourth one. And you'll notice this year, by the way, that we named the candles a little differently. The first candle was awakening or reawakening to what actually this season is celebrating as the Christian New Year starts. The second candle we lit was anticipating the new heaven coming to earth, anticipating Christ coming again. And then the third candle we lit was repentance or realignment, what God would want for our lives in this season of our lives. And all three of those have led us to here today, to the epitome of God being with her, to the person of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the small town girl from a small town nobody knew about. It was a nobody town, a nobody town called Nazareth. And that's where we are in our story today. We are in Luke chapter 1, 2's on Friday. Don't forget that. Friday, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Invite your friends. But today, we're in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And this is the part where we get to see who Mary is. Don't forget, she's just a small town girl. Here we go. Read along with me. It's in Luke chapter 1. It's in one of the Gospels of Jesus. We've got four of them. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third one. Join with me as we read. We put it on the screen, but if you've got an app, you want to open that. You want to put some notes in it. Read with me, because I know God's going to show you something different today. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." Now, the first thing that we notice that Luke is talking about is he mentions Elizabeth, her auntie. Why does he immediately go to explaining Elizabeth? Well, Elizabeth was the recipient of the prophecy of the angel that had just spoken to none other than Zechariah. And Zechariah was now quiet, muted for a while because he didn't believe that God could do something through his aging wife, Elizabeth. So immediately, Luke anchors us in a place and time. And he places us in a place in time because he says, by the way, Gabriel, who spoke to Zechariah, who was Elizabeth's husband, is also speaking to you now, who is also the angel who spoke to Joseph, who said to him the same thing. You must name him. Good, you guys are tracking. Good. So immediately, Luke is anchoring us in a place. He says that Gabriel spoke to Zechariah. He says that Gabriel spoke to Joseph. And he says Gabriel also spoke to Mary, he's speaking to you right now, Mary. Coincidence? I think not. A massive announcement is being made. An announcement that the Savior of the world that you've been waiting for is now coming to you, Mary. The Savior of the world you have been anticipating, the Savior of the world that you are going to be reawakened to, the Savior of the world that you have been realigning your life with is coming to you. And what does Gabriel say? What does Gabriel say to this small town girl from a small town world? Greetings. Greetings. Hello, Mary. Greetings, you are what? Two things. You are favored, and the Lord is with you. So two things. You are favored, and the Lord is with you. Now, those of you who have been pregnant, and I have been pregnant, but I'm a father of four children, and I think that's a good thing to say to any pregnant woman. Greetings, you are favored. The Lord is looking upon you. He's with you because a miracle is happening inside of your womb. Amen, women? Because, oh my gosh, you're pregnant. What a miraculous thing. When are we due? When's the due date? What are you going to do? When's the big reveal? Is it a boy or a girl? What's going on? But this wasn't the only reason that Gabriel was saying to her that she was highly favored and that the Lord was with her. Because inside her womb was the Savior of the world. The Messiah that she'd been waiting for is inside her own womb. The Gabriel says it's going to be conceived in you. And you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. The angel would have said in modern speak, you are humble, you are open, you are teachable. And you're here and I'm with you. And where did this big announcement happen? Did it happen in a large sanctuary? Did it happen on a great temple mount where Moses went to on top of the Mount Ebal, where God would speak and give out the commandments? Did it happen in Jerusalem, on Mount Zion, or in the temple where all the real religious people went? No. Where did this announcement happen? Nazareth. Nazareth. What good can come from Nazareth? You are highly favored. God is with you. God is with you, Mary, and something enormous is happening in your life. Now, you have to know that Mary's pecking order in life. First of all, geographically, she was from nowhere. Second of all, she was about 14 years old. Most scholars of the New Testament say that Mary was 14 years old. Some others say that she was 16 to 20 years old. So she was a young person, a youngster. And nothing comes from young people in ancient Near Eastern history. And also, she was a female. Geographically, from nowhere. Age-wise, nowhere. Nobody listens to teenagers. And she was a female. An ancient Near Eastern take, an ancient Near Eastern understanding, the testimony of a female was considerably not worthy of males listening to. And yet, Gabriel spoke to her. Gabriel spoke to this woman. Mary was confused and disturbed. Verse 29, she was confused and disturbed. And Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Rightly so, Mary is confused and disturbed. Confused, why would the angel Gabriel ever appear to me? a woman, a teenager. I'm just sitting. We had the Westlake video on Friday, whenever that was. They had a video of the children giving the story themselves. And one of the kids said, Mary was sitting there just minding her own business. And an angel appears. So confused. Why would the angel appear to me? And she was disturbed with the words that Gabriel was saying to her. She was disturbed that you're highly favored and God is with you. What does he mean? Of course, he then gave her the really good news. You'll conceive and you give birth to a son. He'd be great. He called Son of the Most. Mary's like, wait a minute. The Son of the Most High, you start saying those things, you start saying in the King of David, and his kingdom will never end. They're words she grew up with. They're words that she knew so well. They're words that the prophets knew were ringing in her ears. They're words that all of her family had been brought up with. They're words that when you said these words, these triggered some things in her mind. Oh, the Messiah? The Messiah is coming through me, through my womb? Rightly so. She was confused and disturbed. You ever been confused and disturbed? Yeah, sometimes things come into our lives and we're confused and disturbed. Sometimes we think it's a message from God. Sometimes we think it's a message from Satan himself. Sometimes we think it's a mixture of the two. Sometimes we wonder whether God would work through that particular person or not. Sometimes we're excited that God would work through that particular person. Regardless, God still uses confused and disturbed people. Amen? And God chooses Mary. God chooses Mary. Mary's response. She starts to ask the angel questions. How can this be so? How can this happen? I'm a virgin. Angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. The word of God will never fail. The angel replied, and this is probably the most Trinitarian passage we've got with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit abiding in all of the text. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and God will be over you. The power of the Most High God, the high God that she'd been living her whole life for, Yahweh, will come upon you. And he will be with you, and he will overshadow you. And that word there for overshadow, that word that the angel speaks to is episkaizo. And it means cloud, it means presence. It means the same thing that was over when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin. It means the same cloud that was ahead of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. This episkaizo, the presence of the Lord overshadowing you. The presence of the Lord will overshadow you, Mary. And God will be with you through this child. God will come to you and God will also come through you. Literally. Mary's like, how can this happen? Joseph and I, we didn't do that. How can this happen? The Holy Spirit will make this happen. The Holy Spirit will bring this miracle to come about. If it isn't a miracle anyway, it's another miracle on top of that. The birth would come through humans. There's no particular license that we need to give children, bring children into this world. It doesn't matter what town you came from. Anybody can have a child. I don't have to do a license or anything. I don't have to go to the DMV to get a license with a child. I don't have to go to the co-op and say, do you mind if I have a child? No, the baby just comes into our life and God gives us it. There's another miracle going on right there. That God would give us the opportunity to bring life into this world. God says, he will overshadow you, Mary. He will episkizo you. He will come to you and overshadow you. By the way, says the angel, Elizabeth that I mentioned in the beginning, a lot of people said that she was barren. A lot of people said that because she was old, she was never going to have a child again. She's in her 6 month of pregnancy. Your auntie, your old auntie. So you probably should go visit her at some point and tell her what's going on inside of you. It's good when our family, people we know, are also having children and having babies, and we have this mutual encouragement. And when she goes to visit later to Elizabeth, there's this beautiful occasion, this beautiful time when she knows that God is with her too. And the baby jumps inside of her womb, and Jesus jumps, and John the Baptist jumps, and they have this like little in utero dance where they're like goofing around, like, yeah, I can't wait to get out. Who is God that he would come to use me? Who is it that would come and be my God? And the angel ends with a beautiful thing to say for an angel to end with. He says, for the word of God will never fail. In other English versions, a lot better. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And that's why we're gathered today. Know what each of our situations in life. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, God can do impossible things in your life, amen? God can come into your life in the worst kind of scenarios. In a place where you think God could not turn up, in a valley, in a ditch, in a place where things are going on in your life that you think, oh God, well, God's not going to be here. God comes in and does things impossible. And Gabriel, the number two angel in the realm of angels, says nothing is impossible with God. Mary, God is going to do something miraculous through you and Joseph. And Jesus is going to be literally delivered through you. And here's the important part in verse 38. Here's the important part. Mary responds. Mary responds. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. God chose a human to bring the kingdom of God onto this earth. God chose us human beings to participate with him to bring the kingdom of heaven here to this earth. God chose you all to bring the kingdom of heaven to Palm Harbor, not just Palm Harbor, the church, but Palm Harbor, the city. Even you might go back to your nowhere towns, your nowhere nobody towns, and tell them about what Jesus has done in your life. Amen? And we go back and say, you wouldn't believe what happened in my life. Jesus came into my life like Dylan on the video. He wrote that poem to purely so he could share it with us and say what God has done in his life. And now he is telling us how the kingdom of God is coming to earth through him. I think he's 11 years old. Just a young guy. from a nowhere town. And God chooses us humans to bring in the kingdom of God into our world. There is always the divine and the human participation coming together. There is always some of God and some of us. Sometimes it's more of us thinking we can control God. Sometimes it's more of God because we are in a desperate situation in need of Jesus more than anything else, amen? And we celebrate this every year. We reawaken our lives every 12 months. We come to this moment when we realize, oh, it is so beautiful. The hallelujah chorus sounds so beautiful. The everything we do around, it does sound beautiful. And what are we doing it for? Every 12 months, we check our clocks. We stop our clocks in a space. In a space and time, we say, oh, if only we could hear more of God in this moment. If only, if I remember that time once again, as I anticipate Jesus coming, I remember the first time I believed, or the many different times where God has spoken to me, and I awaken to those moments. We awaken ourselves, we anticipate, and we repent. We realign with what God's going on in our life. We realign because we can't really control this by ourselves. We think we can. And then all of a sudden, God speaks to us. And we realign our God. We are aligned with our God. And we come to Him in the weirdest of places. In the nowhere places. And we're just sitting in Nazareth. A little girl. And God speaks to us all of a sudden. He says, you're going to be my servant. You're going to be my servant. And our only response should be, I am the Lord's servant. Mary knew how to respond because she knew her text well. Mary knew how to respond because she responded like Abraham when he was sent from down to the Canaanite Valley. And he was sent down there and placed up altars for Yahweh in the midst of all the Canaanite terribleness. And he says, yeah, I'll go. I'll take my whole caravan and go down there. Mary knew that text. And she knew that he said, here I am. Take me. She also knew that Jacob did the same thing when he had the dream of the angels ascending and descending up and down. And Jacob said, yeah, here I am. Send me. She also knew the story of Samuel when God was calling three times, Samuel, Samuel, and he goes and sees his father, and his father said, go back to bed, you're dreaming things that don't mean anything. Finally, Samuel says, here I am, send me. And now we have some new matriarchs and some new patriarchs in our New Testament. We have Joseph, who says, yeah, I'm gonna, no matter what anybody else says, I know I'm meant to be a good Jew and follow these laws and follow what the Mishnah says and follow what everybody else thinks I should say, but I'm gonna follow this dream from Gabriel and say, here I am, send me. And it's the same with Elizabeth. Elizabeth was doing exactly as God had told her. And Zechariah, even though he was quiet, eventually named John the Baptizer, John. And then Mary. Mary finally says, can you imagine if Mary says, I'm not going to go through with this. I'm not going to do this. I just can't handle this. Mom, help me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And just like Mary, just like Joseph, just like Zechariah, God wants you to participate with Him too. God wants you today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what Christmas planning you're going through, no matter what valleys that you are in today through your family, no matter what mental health you're going through, no matter what's going on in your heart, no matter what's going on with you physically, no matter what's going on with you emotionally, no matter what's going on in your relationships and your family that you'll have to deal with in a couple of weeks, God wants to be with you. Today's ending is simple. Through awakening, through anticipating, and through realigning, repenting, God wants to be with you. Just like the cloud that was over Mary, the protecting cloud that was over Mary, so God wants to protect you. Just like the protecting cloud that was over Jesus when he was baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin John the Baptizer, just like the cloud that was ahead of Israel when they were being led out of Egypt away from the evil oppressor in Egypt, so God wants to dwell with you. He is with you. And today, I want you to prepare yourself for that moment. I want you to respond in this season through all of our anticipating, through all of our awakening, through all of our repenting. We've got some more to do, amen? I want you to know that God is with you. But your response, what you are to do, what you are to do in your life, what you are to do in whatever situation you are in today is to say, here I am, God. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And he will say the same thing he said to Mary. I am also with you. Amen. Gracious and heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who came to us through the nowhere girl from Nazareth, Holy Spirit, who provides the cloud over protection that was over Mary and the cloud over Israel, the cloud over those who seek you for assistance. We come to you today. We come to you asking in our season of Advent to dwell with us, to be with us through whatever what we're going through. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would speak into our situations, that no matter what valley we are in, you would appear to us. You would appear to us maybe through Gabriel, maybe through some comforting words from somebody else, maybe from your Spirit's actual presence in our heart. We ask that today, Lord. We ask that we would be, no matter what, nowhere town we were from, that we would communicate that to those around us. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.